Attention maggots, this is Sergeant Slaughter from WWE and G.I. Joe, the real American hero. You're listening to Mega Power Radio. Don't touch that dial. And that's an order.
What's shaking, Mega Maniacs? It's Monday, July 27th. We just finished watching Raw, and it's time for us to gather for the Monday night tradition here on Mega Powers Radio, the most interactive post-Raw experience, the Raw post-show here on Mega Powers Radio. Thank y'all for tuning in. If this is your first time here, we offer a number of ways for you, the listener, to express your thoughts on what went down on Raw tonight and what an episode it was. We had a championship match between John Cena and Seth Rollins. We saw a number of things continuing the Divas Revolution. Overall, a pretty damn good show, I would say, but I want to hear what all y'all out there got to say, and I'll tell you how you can do that in just a moment. But first, I gotta tell you how you can support this show. If you are enjoying listening to it, the number one thing you can do is go to patreon.com/megapowersradio, and for as little as $1 a month, you can help keep the lights on here at Mega Powers Radio Studios so we can keep bringing you all the cool shows you like this one, and of course the Daceman Show, All Talk Show, Addicted to Anime, and the full catalog that is available there, and all the other archive means that we have. And speaking of the archive means, if you can't join us live here every single Monday, you should be subscribing to us on all of our archive means. We're on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, YouTube. All these links can easily be found at smartoutmoment.com as well. While you're there, give us a rating and a review. Invite your friends to listen, because that's the number one way to help the show grow. And that's the best ways to do everything. Tell you all how you can get involved throughout the night. If you want to get your actual voice heard, you could actually dial in with your phone by dialing 760-512-7247, or if you prefer the Skype option, press the Skype icon at the top of the page. It'll put you in queue. We already got a few people in there waiting patiently. Shout outs to those folks there, but we are going to have to wait until around 11:30 before we open those phone lines up. If you are impatient and you want to start getting your opinions out now, you can go ahead and head to the chat room live on our Blog Talk Radio page. Shout outs to the folks who got there early. Ferris419, Chaotic, Wazili, number of guests too. If you haven't yet registered yourself and you are listening live, you should be registering with blogtalkradio.com. Make yourself an account, hang out in the chat room so you get two conversations going on at once. And of course, if you prefer the other social media outlets, we have Twitter at Raw Post Show, our Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs, tons of ways for you to bring your voice to what's going on here on the show. But first, we're going to get started with the panelists. First off, myself, my name is Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio. With me is the Drew White Delight.
Sunny D apparently is in the building, guys. What's up?
You're not Sunny D, you're Drew White.
Oh, my bad. That's my alter ego.
Are you going to insert yourself into this Stardust feud now?
Yeah, I'll keep you guys updated. It is. We get close to SummerSlam.
Yeah, they couldn't get the deal with Stephen Amell, so they had to drop down a couple levels as far as what kind of celebrity guest they could get. They decided to pluck one from Mega Powers Radio.
Yeah, that sucks for them. That's a long drop, honestly.
Also with us here is Mr. Stephen Wago.
Hey, yo.
And lastly, Mr. Tony Mango.
What's up, everybody?
All right, gentlemen. Lots of stuff went down on the show tonight. I ran off a little bit of a rundown of it before. Overall, nothing particularly standout. It's not like, you know, we had that Undertaker-Brock Lesnar pull-apart brawl like we had last week. But it also was not a bad show. It was a very easy watch. Everything flowed together fairly nicely. I got to give a lot of props. But I want to know what you guys thought and what your number one thing you took away on this show tonight was. Drew, why don't you start us off?
It wasn't anything necessarily bad, really. I mean, the matches were good, the segments were good. Just everything just like you said, flowed easily, and you know, just I didn't have to, like, turn away too often to, like, oh, I need to, like, get on my computer. Or, like, hey, I'm going to just chat in a group or something like that. I was entertained, as Seamus would say. So, yeah, good show.
Tony, what about you?
When the action's on the screen, it's something that I am really fond of. Tonight was a really good episode overall, and the only things that really were down points to me had to probably be, like, the beginning of it and a couple points where, like, the focus wasn't necessarily on what was going on in the ring.
Wago, round us out on this.
My number one point has to be pretty much the same as Tony's. There was a lot of action tonight, and it made the show a lot easier to digest.
Well, they started off this show in a way that we actually haven't had in a while, but I can't say I particularly miss it, with an authority promo. Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, Seth Rollins come out to start the show saying they have a massive announcement. Guys, SummerSlam is going to be 4 hours long.
Finally.
I'm pissed we couldn't get those tickets.
There's a reason they're doing that. It's because their pay-per-views typically aren't longer than their Raws, so they've had to finally have a show that's longer.
Well, WrestleMania has been 4 hours for a few years now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just kind of annoying that every one of these special live events can't even, like, go nearly as long as the fucking WWE's Raws each week.
Well, heck, what, Beast in the East, that was only, like, 2 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was it?
They had a couple of dart matches that they didn't show, and, like, I've seen those matches went about 20 minutes long each. Oh,
I'm so upset that I missed Cesaro versus Diego.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know, that would have added at least another hour to the whole thing, so.
Hey, I bet you that was the best match Diego's going to have all year.
But I got to say,
let me get to see it.
The first SummerSlam out of L.A. in quite some time in Brooklyn, shaping up to be a pretty damn big show. I am quite jelly of the people who have gotten tickets to that. The only match we know confirmed for now is Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, but a number of things built up, and you can only assume. And if they're packing it up to 4 hours, you know they got a lot planned for that show.
That makes me feel a lot more comfortable, too, because remember last week we were talking about, well, what are they going to set up? Because it seems like they were setting up a couple different matches, but they also sort of appeared to, like, have a couple things getting lost in the mix. And I was under the assumption that somebody like a Kevin Owens was going to be screwed over. Now you've got an extra hour, you got a little bit more playing room.
Someone's still got to be on the pre-show, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
They still have that fifth hour.
Yeah. But I mean, even when it comes to the pre-show and the three-hour shows, usually it's not that great. Like, when I look at the pay-per-views, I kind of work in the idea that there's one extra thing for the pre-show for an extra 10 minutes or something like that. And now with an extra hour, I'm feeling more confident that we're going to get, like, the pre-show match isn't going to be a match that should have been on the main card but didn't have enough time for it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Well, John Cena interrupts them out there talking. He comes out and starts challenging Seth Rollins for his title. Stephanie teases but says no. I really lost track of how this happened, but eventually it set up our main event, John Cena versus Seth Rollins. At first I thought it was for both titles, but no, it was just for the U.S. title only, assumably going with his U.S. title open challenge. And speaking of that main event that we had, slow start, but it, overall a damn good match. Fantastic main event, another one by John Cena. Wago's been making a case that John Cena is one of the best out there right now, but he went out there, I would say he busted his ass, but more descriptively, he actually busted his nose. In this match, Seth Rollins going for a high knee. I believe it was Crichton in our Mega Maniacs group said an MMA-style high knee. And I definitely got reminded a lot of those that Wago's been showing us from the last UFC events. John Cena's nose getting completely busted, like instantly drenching the corner of the ring with a pile of blood. And he had to keep getting cleaned up by a medical guy throughout the entire match. It was a sight to see. In the end, John Cena winning, though, with the STFU finisher. Tap out. Admittedly, though, he locked it in very tight. He looked like he was pissed with it, as opposed to most of the time where it looks like he's just hugging the guy.
He's been listening to Xavier Woods. Keeps going. Keep it tight.
Apparently, all you have to do to get him to tighten up is break his fucking nose and turn the match.
That definitely seemed like it kicked up John Cena's intensity level a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's legitimately pissed off, and to be quite honest, he has a right to be. It sucks what happened to him, but hey, this ain't ballet.
Do you think that Seth Rollins should have won this, gotten the U.S. title?
I don't think this match should have happened. I'm glad it happened, just from a spectator standpoint. I really enjoyed what we got tonight. And it's a change from that third hour being such a fucking drag. They actually gave me something I could sink my teeth into. I don't agree with giving your main event away on free TV. I don't agree with making Seth look any weaker than he has been. But I can't argue with the logic that John Cena can beat him clean, because he should be able to beat him clean. I just don't think we should have got the match tonight.
Do you guys think this means we are not going to get this at SummerSlam now?
I hope so.
We're getting it at SummerSlam, and Seth's going to win through dubious means. And
Either that, or we'll get the match in like some other form of some ways of mystery.
The only other thing I can think of is that in the next couple of weeks, they build up something where it becomes a triple threat. And the only other person I think of that could be tossed into the mix is Triple H. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think this is just one of those odd excuses where they like said, you know what, we need to have Cena beat him so he looks like he can beat him at SummerSlam. And then, like Wago said, dubious means and all that kind of crap. And I have to completely agree with Wago on the other point, too. I don't like it when they do this kind of stuff where they do a match on Raw before they do it on a pay-per-view. So if we get anything that's just standard Seth Rollins versus John Cena, even if it was a gimmick match, I still am not going to be as interested in it as I would have been, you know, if this match wouldn't have happened. This was a good match.
You've essentially been cheated out of the climax of the feud. The entire point of having a feud is that you get to see these guys go at it at a particular event.
And you, especially if you also know how WWE tends to do things. Okay, well, John Cena won. That means he's going to lose. So it's not even that kind of like, well, maybe this is setting up John Cena winning the title in LA. Well, no, he beat him on Raw. Typically, if somebody beats somebody on Raw, they lose on the pay-per-view. And it's not the night before, it's not the week before, or any of that. We still have a couple weeks to have some kind of twist in the story, but this wasn't like a necessary thing where they needed to do this to set up a different type of match that we know of. I mean, we might not know that. And if it just ends up being another match that happens at the same thing, I'll be disappointed.
Well, okay then. Well, if you out there have thoughts about what went down with our main event tonight, you can call in to our phone lines, which will be opening up in a few minutes. Area code 760-512-7247 will get you in queue. We have a few people already in there patiently. We're going to try to have time for all of you, so please be patient. We'll get you in very soon. Heading on to our next bit that we had on the show, we had Big Show versus Dean Ambrose as our first match of the night with The Miz on commentary. He makes an interesting point saying that Ryback should be stripped of his title. If we're going by the Jack Tunney rules, he hasn't been there for 30 days. Shouldn't have that title no more.
Has it been 30 days? 30 days?
When was the last time he defended it? It had to have been
defending it. Yeah.
When was the last pay-per-view?
Elimination Chamber? No, wait. Payback?
Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank, yeah. Okay. Well, it's definitely been 30 days since that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very true. Didn't even think about that.
Hopefully he comes back soon, though. I miss him. He's been a missed character. This was an odd match. There's some point where Big Show starts tying his shoes. And I don't know if this was setups or something, but I definitely completely missed it. Big Show just dominates Ambrose towards the tail end of this match. He eventually just keeps beating him to the outside, trying to get the count out victory. But Ambrose is a fighter. He keeps getting up and getting inside the ring before the 10 count. Finally, just when it seems like Ambrose is building up a head full of steam, he goes for the suicide dive on Big Show on the outside, but gets rocked with a WMD knockout punch. And this is probably one of my favorite actual like wrestling move type things throughout the night. This looks so intense. Dean Ambrose was just out like a light after that. He was not getting back up. Big Show smiled, took the count out victory. And, you know, I got to say, as much as people tend to get pissed off with those kind of victories, like there was a time in wrestling when a person could have a count out victory. And that was a victory. That was a legit victory. And this is definitely one of those times where a person looked dominant in a count-out victory.
Yeah, there used to be a time where if you beat Yokozuna by count-out, people went fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually fine with count-out victories, depending on how you do it. If it's one of those, oh man, I didn't jump in at the last second. So oh, snap. That type of thing pisses me off. But that... if it's just a situation where you got knocked the fuck out, then right on.
I think it's that, and like also when people just like they just leave instead of actually coming back. I think winning like that as well technically kind of ruins the point of countouts.
Or when you can tell that the only reason a countout happened is because they're trying to make sure that somebody doesn't get pinned.
Yeah.
Like what they did with Rusev like 6 or 7 times before he lost, and it was just like, oh, come on. You're really like, you sat there and went, who's going to get disqualified or counted out?
So with Miz's involvement here, I think it's safe to say that we're continuing this triangle feud. Miz is going to be staying included with what's going on for that IC title.
Good. He should.
We had Neville, the man that Gravity forgot, going against Fandango, who, credits to Crichton again, was calling the man that everyone forgot.
Nice.
Poor Fandango. He gets the jobber's entrance. He's in there trying to get people to do the Fandango dance, and people are just completely no-selling him.
Like Wego said, it's not ballet.
this poor guy. I mean, it's chocked so full of talent, but they're just shat over him, so you can't blame people for not being into him. Your basic modern squash match. Neville gets the win with the red arrow. Important part of this is that after the match, Stardust appears on the Tron to be creepy. I didn't transcribe much of what he said here, or by much I mean any.
But, I want to just talk about stuff like this. Give me some glitter to blow. That's all he fucking does. I don't know what the hell he said, but he said something about Green Arrow, and that was just like, oh cool, Green Arrow.
Yeah, so I think that's still at the least I'm getting more of a feeling like it's going to be a match against Neville, and Stephen Mel's just going to be in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Think he's still gonna dress like Arrow though?
I think he's just gonna be sitting there going, well, just let me know when I get to do my thing where I punch him and walk away.
You can shoot him with an arrow?
That'd be great. He comes out with a fucking Nerf gun, like the Arrow ones that they used to have.
This guy's awesome. I have a better idea. He can use fucking Archer's plunger and fire a plunger at him.
I'm pretty sure that Green Arrow's used a plunger arrow before. He's used a boxing glove. That would be a great way to bring it in. The boxing glove arrow knocks out Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, I'd mark it. He actually had to hit him. What if he missed?
Well, he's pretty damn good at it. I mean, he's gotten trained.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's been working on that for years.
Mm-hmm. What he's going to do is he's just going to do the salmon ladder in the middle of the ring. And Wego won't be able to see it because it's salmon.
That's just going to be his promo videos, like going into the match. Like,
yeah.
He's not even going to talk. It's just going to be like him sitting there for a moment, and then it's going to cut to like videos of him doing the salmon ladder.
The pre-match thing will be like Stardust talking, and then when it goes to Neville, because nobody cares a shit that Neville's in the match, and it's just all because of Stephen Amell, it's just going to cut to like Neville talking, but footage of Stephen Amell doing that.
Better than seeing Neville's face.
Yeah.
Okay, well, with that, we've hit 11:30. We're going to start opening up the phone lines. We got tons of callers in there. We appreciate you guys calling in. It's going to take a bit of time. Please be patient, but we will find time for all of you. If you're out there listening, you want to get yourself in line, time to call is now, so we can make sure we get you in. So dial in 760-512-7247 or press the Skype icon at the top of the page. We're going to bring on our first caller from the 646 area code. I believe this is becoming our regular first caller now. Aisha, is that you there?
Yeah, it's me. What's up, guys?
What's shaking, Aisha? What'd you think about tonight's show?
Yeah, I think Raw was pretty good. It had its good moments and slow moments. The main event, I mean, it started off a little bit slow with Cena Rollins, but it picked up, I would say, after Cena broke his nose, which is, I gotta give props to Cena. That was gruesome to watch, but hey. It was a good match. The Divas doing their thing.
The Divas definitely showing like that they're taking over. So far out of this, who's the team that's sticking out to you the most out of those three teams?
Come on. Sasha Banks, Team Bad.
Yeah. like a boss.
Yeah, I love Sasha. I'm too biased. Every time I see Sasha, I'm just like, I don't care about you. I just care about Sasha.
Well, we've been talking a bit about SummerSlam. You know, we're on the road to there. They're making a big deal out of it. They made it 4 hours. What's your thoughts about SummerSlam so far? Is there anything that's got you really excited? Are you happy it's going to be 4 hours? Do you think that's going to be too long? What's on your mind with that?
I've never done this before, so I'm hoping they can pull it off. Because if you're going to make 4 hours, that's usually a WrestleMania thing, so you got to pull off a good card. And now with this main event with Taker and Lesnar. Well, my prediction, it probably will be too long, but by watching it, I don't know. We just have to see what happens. I can see what the card looks like, and I'll be like, hey, this show might be worth 4 hours, you know?
Time will tell. So, Aisha, what was your high point and low point for tonight's show? Your favorite part, your least favorite part?
Let's see. High point. Oh, my God. What happened on the show? I can't remember. I don't know what happened every time. I can't remember what happened on the show.
Well. We're going to be doing a full recap of it throughout the night. I guess if nothing particularly stuck out to you, there wasn't anything too awesome or too bad then, huh?
No, it was a pretty good episode. It was like a little bit slow, but overall there's some good matches, and apparently this was the first time ever episode, so yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know we've all been clamoring for such classics like Lucha Dragons versus Los Matadores.
Okay. I don't know, with New Day coming out, I laughed so hard. I don't know what Chris he was doing, and I don't know what Big E was doing with himself. So I just couldn't stop laughing.
All right, Aisha, we got lots of callers to get through here. Yeah. Always good to talk to you, though. You have a good night.
All right, you too, guys.
All right. Again, just reminding all the people out there, dial in with your phones if you want to get your voice heard here. 760-512-7247. In the meantime, we're going to keep the conversation going here, going into the next bit of here. Actually, just as I was saying there, they aired a little advertisement as they were going to a commercial break, and it was pretty much Michael Cole saying, don't change that channel. For the first time ever, we're having Los Matadores against the Lucha Dragons. I'm like, oh boy. Not going to touch that remote at this point.
There was one thing that was somewhat notable. I think this is the first tag match where all the competitors have been masked probably since the fucking 90s, at least in WWE.
I was trying to think about that, and I'm thinking maybe in like the mid-2000s there might have been something where they had
Sin Cara versus Sin Cara.
No, but I'm talking like a tag match, like where you've got more than two competitors, because we've had plenty of matches with two masked guys, Kane, Ray, but I'm trying to think of something where all tech, it's just been all tag teams that have had masks on.
Well, I was trying to give an example, but you guys just fucking went off with Drew being a dumbass.
Yeah, Drew.
I was thinking maybe during the mid-2000s when they were doing that Hurricane Stable thing, they all had masks, so maybe they fought like Kane and somebody else who had a mask.
Huh. Yeah, Rosie and Hurricane. I'm trying to think who they might have fought.
That even might be a long shot, though. That's definitely notable, I suppose. I think this is potentially maybe the beginning of something they might start showing the Lucha Dragons in a better fashion, but time remains to be seen on that, because they were pretty much overshadowed with the primetime players on commentary, eventually the New Day coming out and interrupting the match. Lucha Dragons do pick up the pinfall victory, though, but again, this is all mostly focusing on primetime players and New Day. What does this mean for SummerSlam, though, guys? Like, Who's going to be the team that's going to be in the match here? Are they continuing New Day, I'm supposed to? Are they going to make it a multi-team match?
Tony's wanting that fucking multi-team match. You know how he loves those.
Well, let's specify something. They weren't overtaken by the primetime players on commentary. They were overtaken by Titus O'Neil on commentary because Darren Young didn't say, like, a goddamn word. And it got even to a point where Titus even just said, like, you know, like, what do you think, or something, and he was just like, I don't know. Like, he was completely the opposite. It was totally a waste to have him out there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was more like, that was great, wasn't it, Darren? He was just like, yep.
Yeah, it was cool. Really just a waste. And Titus O'Neil's keeping this thing going on where he's like getting mad at people. I don't know what's the deal with that.
Particularly JBL.
Yeah.
He has some kind of beef with JBL.
A little bit with Byron Saxton, too, and I don't blame him because Byron Saxton sucks. Yeah. But this definitely is looking like a multi-team match to me. Like, they do this kind of stuff, and they do it frequently around this time period, because I think that, like, the summer months, they sort of don't know what they're going to do with the tag division. That's when they've already kind of split people up, and that's, like, that lull where they're not looking for somebody to push out of the tag team division. So we're not going to see people split up and stuff, so I can't imagine this scenario having been booked for anything other than a fatal four-way.
Yeah.
And I assume in that scenario, we're going to get the primary focal point is going to be New Day and primetime players. And maybe we're going to see something like the Lucha Dragons get a little bit of a push out of this. Maybe they're the ones that eliminate New Day and then lose to primetime players. But I mean, that remains to be seen too.
I'm trying to think, didn't Los Matadores just beat the primetime players last week on Raw?
Did they?
I felt like they did. That or they beat Lucha Dragons, but
no, they did, because New Day came out and interrupted the distraction.
Well, you know, now that the Lucha Dragons beat them, now the New Day is probably going to beat the Lucha Dragons, and there you go. They all beat each other, which means everyone has a shot at the title. So I think I'm in the same boat as Tony. It just looks like they're going to do a Fatal 4-way, which is fine, because usually when they do these Fatal 4 tag matches like they did at WrestleMania, they always turn out to be really fun spot junkie matches. You know, it might be on the pre-show, unfortunately.
I meant
spot, like, just like, you know, just
a bunch of... You don't know the terminology, junkies. Do you? You just total fucking, like, internet mark forum.
Oh, it was an ear corn. Or a Rickyism.
But look at it this way. If SummerSlam is 4 hours and WrestleMania has obviously been like that for a while and everything like that, we got a Fatal 4-Way at WrestleMania. You know, they're going to try to get as many people on the card for SummerSlam, too.
How come anytime they do these multi-tag matches, too, it's the only time Los Matadores ever really comes out?
Because for some reason, they don't want to push the Ascension instead. That'd be a much better team to throw in here.
Huh. They never just do like a single Los Matadores tag match, though. These guys are just like,
because they suck.
They don't suck.
I don't think they suck.
They're the jobber tag team in a division that doesn't really have much strength right now.
But they have the Bull.
Is it another team of a Bull, Tony?
That Bull's not really much of a spot chunky, so it's not going to get in these kind of roles.
With Titus O'Neil looking so strong, you think there's going to be a potential split and then try to push him as a single star soon?
Oh, yeah, because that worked so well the last time.
Yeah, that, does he turn or does Darren Young turn?
Darren Young absolutely turns.
the gay guy who's just like, fuck you guys, you all think I'm gay? I'll kill you, bitch.
Well, no, he's not gay right now.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Stephanie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, well, Stephanie looks like she did tonight, man. She could turn any gay man straight.
Yeah, Darren.
Until she fucking talked. She was awful tonight.
No, she wasn't.
I thought that was great.
Promo-wise, she was terrible. She looked great.
I disagree. I thought she was on point.
I felt like
she played the fans perfectly.
She just felt awkward.
I think you have a bias.
What? I like Stephanie.
No, you have a bias against McMahon's.
I'm not the one calling people fucking monkey junkies, whatever he called them.
Monkey junkies?
You can't remember what I said.
See, I'm remembering the correct term and mixing it up with his fucked up term, and now I can't think of the right word.
Where's the connection to this, too? Is this just Waco going, yeah, but let's make fun of Drew?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's pretty much what it is.
That's normally my go-to when Miguel isn't here.
All right. Well, if you out there listening want to call in and talk about Raw tonight, talk about SummerSlam, or talk about Monkey Junkies, dial in with 760-512-7247, or you can talk in the chat room where Ferris419 has offered his own Spotch Monkey.
So right now in my head I'm going, Spot Chunky, that monkey junkie.
All right, let's bring on our next caller here. They are calling in from the 540 area code. Let's see who's calling in from there. 540, you're live on the Raw Post Show.
I'm back!
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck me.
Oh,
Fat dude. Fat dude.
Yeah, the girl with the voice in the dude. Fat
dude. All right. So, what's on your mind tonight, Jeff?
Well, it's nice to see I'm back with you guys for good.
Oh, yes.
For one night. So, yeah. Last tonight with Cena and Rollins was pretty okay. But you know what? I think the best Divas match of the night was Paige versus Sasha Banks. But we'll get into that. I want to talk about last week between The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar. I mean, what the hell was that? I mean, SummerSlam, I think it's good bound to be good.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And I'm thinking that this match between Undertaker and Brock will be a no-hold-barred match.
That would be intense.
I heard it was a street fight.
I'm kind of hoping for a barroom brawl.
I'm thinking no DQ match.
Then again, it could be.
Falls count anywhere?
No, that's not the only reason I'm here. Tonight, I'm here to make a huge announcement.
Oh. Is that SummerSlam is 4 hours long?
Me and the real JD, I know you guys haven't talked to him since even that fake JD had a cage match. But me and the real JD are going to be doing a radio.
Anyway,
we are going to be doing. Anyway, me and JD are going to be doing.
What?
Can you let me finish my thought, please? Anyway, me and. Me and JD are doing a US Raw radio show on Talkshow.com. I'd be interested if you guys have a listen on it. Take a listen on it, too.
That's awesome.
I'm always here to support you.
I'm serious.
Must be you, nerd.
I'm serious. Me and JD have a real radio show. I'm serious.
A real one?
It's real, guys. I didn't make it up. Seriously.
Yeah.
It's going to be the WCW. It's the WCW US.
Lost our caller.
Oh,
don't know what happened there. That was weird.
I blame Phil Stevenson.
Yeah, probably it's Phil Stevenson's fault. So why don't we go ahead and bring on our next caller? They're calling in from the 609 area code. Probably want to give us some real WWE talk. 609-462. You're live on the Raw Post Show. Who's there?
Hey guys, it's Jaden. I'm sorry about last week. My phone died in the middle of it.
Oh, that's unfortunate, man. Well, we got you on this week, man. How you doing? What's on your mind?
Nothing. Actually, like, what the heck was that from the other caller? He really wasted you guys' time. Oh my gosh, he's so annoying.
You don't even know.
Yeah, but I'm here to talk about Monday Night Raw and what transpired when John Cena literally broke his nose in the middle of the match and still won. That was a good match. I kind of thought at that moment Seth Rollins was going to win, even though I'm like, that's pretty much impossible. Like, that makes no sense for him to win. But Raw was okay. I mean, there were some Raw had highs and the lows. It really was not all that good, but like there was like some gems, like the Big Show versus Dean Ambrose. That was a pretty good match. That KO punch was insane. The match wasn't really good itself. It was just a KO punch, but like it was sick. And SummerSlam 4 hours long. I don't know. I might actually buy it. So.
Oh, well, if you get the WWE Network for free, you know.
I mean, yeah, but, like, my mom, she doesn't want me to, I don't know, she doesn't want me to buy it. But,
I understand.
Damn moms.
Yeah, yeah.
Women, but, right?
That won't.
This is going to turn into, like, kind of a stand-up thing. Moms, you know, they don't let you buy the network. Tell her that you have our permission to get the network.
Well, I think Tony knows how to provide you with a network.
Or a work visa.
Yeah, I wish I could buy it myself, man. That would be sick. But, like, the match between Neville and, Fandango, like, who thought of that match, honestly? Because that match was retarded. And show was the match between Los Matadores and
Lucha Dragons.
Lucha Dragons. That wasn't a good match at all. Like, Lucha Dragons, they're nice to see, but like, I don't want to see them going up against a Los Matadores. Like, come on.
But it was the first time ever.
It was.
Yeah, I mean, who cares? Who cares about them, honestly? Yeah. Like, they can be kicked off the roster and it will have no effect to the WWE. No effect whatsoever. But it was okay. We didn't see Undertaker and Brock Lesnar, probably because Triple H decided to press out charges on them, but like, is that real? Is he seriously pressing charges on them?
Guys, do you know anything about this?
What did he say?
I couldn't tell what he said, to be perfectly honest.
If anybody in WWE says that they're pressing charges, it's not real.
On the Hulk Hogan thing?
Well, unless it's Dr. Chris Amon.
No, Brock Lesnar versus Undertaker when they were like kept fighting. He says he pressed charges. Well, like, I was like, okay. So my highs and my lows, it was really high with my lows was Los Matadores versus Lucha Dragons and Neville versus Fandango. And my high was obviously John Cena versus Seth Rollins. That was a good match.
All right. Well, very cool call, Jaden. Appreciate getting you on. Glad we got you on this week.
So
no problem, man. You have a good night, man.
Yeah,
oh, sorry. Cut him off.
Such a nice kid.
He is a very nice kid. We appreciate you calling him, man. We made a couple jokes. You're a cool guy. I do like, I don't know if he meant to make the pun. He said his low was Los Matadores.
He probably did. That's good. Shut up, Tony. You would laugh at that.
Oh, I totally laughed at that.
I know. I heard you.
Well, all right then. Glad we're all on the same page with that.
Okay. I agree!
Again, we have a couple more callers waiting on there. Just please wait patiently. We promise we'll get time for you on here. If you're listening, you want to get yourself in, dial in area code 760-512-7247 is a number to join the most interactive post-raw experience available, the Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio. I actually want to take us back, guys, to approximately like 4 months ago, because we had a very big event happen here on this show. It had a huge impact on all of us, and it's remained quiet. You know, it's been tough for us to talk about it, but it's time things start getting brought to light. So I just want to take you guys back to the night after WrestleMania where this happened. Longtime listeners remember Time Cow. He was as much of a member of the family here at Mega Powers Radio as anybody else. He was a staple of the Raw Post Show here and made frequent appearances across all the other shows. Really helped keep things in line, and honestly, things just have not been the same without him. And justice must be brought to whoever this was that ran him down that night. We have a number of leads, but nothing really followed up on it. We got one of the best detectives on the case, Detective Cliff Clefton. And we're hoping to get more updates on that soon. But I'm telling you guys, some major breakthrough is going to be happening with that when that falls through. All right, let's get back to talking about Raw tonight, because this is tearing me up a little bit inside. What was really awesome tonight, and I'll be happy to talk about this, the Divas Revolution continuing with Paige versus Sasha Banks. And before this match even started, they had this pre-match video about Sasha Banks, which was really well done. And how often they do videos like this about the girls, so kudos for that. Then these two girls go out there and have the best damn match that I think any of these women have had all damn year. Certainly the best since this whole NXT Divas coming up to the main roster has happened, because honestly, a lot of those have been weak. This is the level of match that they need to continue to be having if they really want to make a statement with this story that they're doing. The fans really got into it. Sasha Banks picks up the victory with the bank statement. I can't complain about a damn thing. Awesome job by everybody involved. Fellas, are you as intrigued by this as I was?
I was very happy with the match quality that we got. This is what I've been asking for. It's finally nice to get it. If you give me good wrestling, I'm going to be happy. There's not much more to say. Wish the storyline was a little more hot. Wish there was a little more to be invested in as far as that goes. But if they can substitute what they're missing storyline-wise with good matches, I'll be happy.
Very much so. I actually think this is probably my favorite match of the night, oddly enough. And going into it, of course, now that we've had a little bit of time to kind of digest the new people that have been brought to the roster and stuff, and we've seen them on NXT and stuff, so we knew, you know, what they were about basically before. But, you know, it used to be, there's a Divas match, I'm going to go do something. And now I'm actually like, oh, there's a Divas match. Awesome. That's odd. I'm not used to that. But if they keep this up, you know, they might start changing that around.
Well, we had another Divas match. It was a tag match with Becky Lynch and Charlotte going against Nikki Bella and Alicia Fox. Becky Lynch wins with a disarm her submission. This match I was not as favorable of. It was, you know, more of the lackluster level that they've had some of those other matches. Not bad, you know, very clean, but just very safe, I would say. Anything extra that we could add to the other match that they had?
Nope. It was a match.
It was indeed a match. Expert analysis by Drew White here. I do have one note that I wanted to bring up about this, and a lot of people reminisce about the days of gang warfare and during the Attitude Era in WWF, and we're almost kind of getting a return of that, only now it's with the ladies.
Awesome. Gang warfare storyline was, like, one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, too bad one of the gangs fucking sucks and can't win a damn match when it really matters. Well, talking to you, Team Bella.
So that's just Los Barriquas.
That's exactly what I was going to say. They're Los Barriquas.
Yeah, shit.
But here's the thing. The Divas champion is in that group. They should be winning more. Like,
so which one of them is the really hairy guy?
I don't know. I can see Brie, like, along with Daniel Bryan. She might not shave a lot, which is why she wear pants.
Yeah, I can see Brie possibly having a mustache normally, and she has to, like dye wax it.
Or wax it, yeah.
Where's the mustache?
That's a good question.
Well, okay, then.
Have a glister tattoo.
Boy. Let's go ahead and open up the phone lines here and take on another caller. This one is calling in from the 609 area code as well, so this must be the other dude from there. This is Chanel. Chanel, you there?
Yes, I am. What's up, guys?
Ah, too much, man. We're sitting here talking about all the things that went down on the show tonight. What are you thinking about it?
This was a perfect example of Raw having its highs and lows tonight. Kind of feels odd, but kind of in a good way. To me, yeah.
Elaborate that.
Say that again, I didn't hear you.
Elaborate that. Like, what do you mean, like, it felt weird?
Oh, what I mean is, things just seem out of place. Dean Ambrose, upper mid-card should be beating guys like Big Show, and, you know, he didn't. I understand Big Show has to look strong, but there's no purpose to Big Show being strong anymore. He should be putting superstars over as talented as Dean Ambrose over, in my opinion. Kind of like, that's a one example.
He brings up a good point, though. What has Dean really been doing for the past few weeks? Or actually the past month, for the most part?
Here's the issue. How can you put someone over if you're not over? If you diminish Big Show to a point where beating him means nothing, then he's not suitable for that role either.
Yeah, you make a good point, but I think there's other talent that he can do that with. Dean Ambrose is a special upper level talent to me that should be beating guys like Big Show consistently.
Yeah, but he still looked like a fighter with what went down today. And, you know, there's always that argument, well, he wasn't pinned, so he doesn't look as weak with it. I don't know. It didn't bother me as much. And plus, you know, Big Show's a giant. This is a guy who should pretty much never be losing. It's Big Show.
I tell you what bugged me more than the idea that he lost to Big Show, that they didn't do anything with him or Roman Reigns and the Wyatts.
Well, no, Wyatt was there.
Wyatt was there, but there wasn't anything to interact with Reigns or Ambrose.
Well, he did, like, yeah, call them out during his promo.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if Ambrose could have done something, like, if Ambrose would have faced Luke Harper and lost, that would have made more sense to me.
I see.
And think about it this way. If Big Show's defeated Dean Ambrose, he's most likely going to be challenging for a title against Ryback, so he can use any momentum that he's got now to put Ryback over.
Yeah, that's true.
Indeed. What'd you think about our main event tonight, Chanel?
They gave that match away, but at the same time, that was a fantastic match between John Cena and Seth Rollins, and I'm happy I got to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys tore the house down. I was at the what the heck is the arena in Philadelphia called? Wherever it was, where Royal Rumble
Wells
was. Wells Fargo Arena, yeah.
That was Spot Chunky Arena or something?
Mega Power Arena. And those two guys absolutely tore the house down in that triple threat that they had. So I actually was looking forward to seeing a match with these guys if they have it at SummerSlam. And I'm not going to say I'm not anymore. I'm not of the belief that if they have another match, it's not going to mean anything, especially because this was only for the U.S. title. If the next one's for the world title, then that, by definition, makes it mean more. But I don't know. SummerSlam is going to be a big card. They announced tonight that it's going to be 4 hours. You think that was a necessary move?
I like the 4 hours. If they have a bunch of matches on the card, it gives time for all these performers to have a decent amount of minutes to put on a good show. So I liked it 4 hours.
Chanel, what was your high point and low point for tonight's show?
My high point, obviously the main event. That was a fantastic match. And low point, probably the Rusev, Summer Rae, Dolph Ziggler love saga. I'm just not entertained by it.
You don't like fish?
I think that was the best response we could have gotten.
Okay, yeah, it definitely was. All right, Chanel, fun talking to you, man. You have a good night, man. We'll catch you another night.
Thank you. You too.
Again, anyone out there listening, if you want to dial in, area code 760-512-7247 is the number to dial. Get yourself heard on the Raw post show here on Mega Powers Radio. Of course, you could use Skype as well. Chat room's rolling. We got at Raw post show on Twitter. I actually haven't been on top of Twitter. Wouldn't be surprised if we got one from Dane Quinn. I feel bad, Dane. I miss your tweets sometimes. And the Facebook group Mega Maniacs is available as well. What do we have not talked about here? Let's talk about Rusev. So we're just following up off of that. Rusev is in the ring with Summer Rae. He has a mic saying that he's smitten for Summer and that, how did he say it? It is a woman's pleasure to obey, but it's a man's pleasure to shower her with gifts.
A woman's and privilege, I think.
Privilege.
He said.
That's how it's privilege. He treats her to some gifts. First off, a puppy, which he calls Dog Ziggler, which was
that's so great.
And then she opens up another box, and it has a fish. And he says, yeah, it's a cold fish, just like Lana. I'm like, damn, that's like so unnecessary of a burn.
There's really, so many really things that were great about this, and his delivery was fantastic. He was just like, it's a fish. And with that line, that burn, like, I wish Xavier Woods was around because he would have been like,
ah! Kofi Kicks would have been started, like, punching Fong Po in the stomach.
He would have been like, damn, son! Damn, son! This was a fucking great segment. I loved everything about this.
And, you know, it's almost sad to see Rusev going into the comedy spot here, but, yeah, it was that was my favorite line he delivered, too. It's a fish. Like, she opens up the box. Like, it wasn't obvious that was a fish. It's a fish.
And they cut the head off, too. So it's even weirder. I'm a little bit disappointed, though, that they didn't have somebody pick up the fish and smack another one. But possibly even better, when Rusev fucking throws the fish, and then there's just this streak mark of, like, fish oil and grease and whatever on the ramp. Oh, man. That's got to be one of my favorite things I've seen of Raw this year.
It's the fish flying as he tosses it.
Yeah. Now, if somebody in the crowd would have gotten hit by the fish, there wouldn't have been a problem like they did with the fucking Brock Lesnar thing.
Oh, goodness. Where is this going?
Possibly. Straight into the trash. You're not going to eat that fish after that.
I don't know. It's on the ramp.
Maybe you're not. So
probably.
Maybe it's leading to the kick the dog moment. Where Ziggler has to save the dog from getting kicked.
So is this dog going to be a permanent fixture of Summer Rae now? Is that going to be like, Tori used to have her dog?
I hope so.
I don't know, but it looks less of a douche than Dolph Ziggler does.
They're going to start dressing the dog in that kind of stuff.
Not douche dog, Ziggler.
Now that dog looked terrified. I don't think they're bringing it back.
That dog was not happy to be picked up in the middle of that ring with all those people.
Was anyone else disappointed that it didn't piss or shit on her?
I wanted it to so bad.
I was fucking, like, waiting for it. I'm like, come on, fucking dog kennel from hell match.
Oh, goodness.
It's a fish. And that's shit.
We had Bray Wyatt out. He had a pretty damn good promo here, I gotta say. One of my favorite lines he says in it, the ones that are sent to protect you are the ones that you should fear the most. And he also started making this great allusion of Luke Harper to a pet that he used to have that he let go and came back with a scar. Really interesting storytelling by Bray Wyatt here. And I think did a lot to build the relationship that these two guys have, because it is a nice story that they kind of like were together and he set him free to kind of build on his own as an individual. And now the family's back together and stronger than ever. Like, that's actually a pretty good long-term story. And I'm sure that wasn't the intention, or maybe it was, when they split them up. But I'm happy with where this is going. But what'd you guys think about this promo and everything going with this tonight?
Only Bray Wyatt can create sense with a nonsensical promo. I love Bray Wyatt when he's on. When he's on point, he's fan-fucking-tastic, but so often we get promos with no direction. We need more of this. We need people coaching this guy going, this is what you're putting over, go ahead and do it. And I felt he did that tonight in the form of putting him and Luke Harper's reunion up a level and making him seem more legitimate threat to Roman Reigns.
You forgot to say over. Yeah, I agree. I think that this is a good way for them to acknowledge the fact that they were split up before, but to try to give it some kind of a reasoning other than just, well, we thought Luke Harper and Eric Rowan could go well on their own, and they didn't. Because, I mean, really, that's what happened. I am a little bit disappointed, though, that we didn't get to see a third member added. And we still might, because there's still time. Mm-hmm. But a lot of rumors been speculating lately that maybe Leo Kruger is going to show up. And I was sort of hoping that that would happen tonight or somebody else or something like that. So by the end of this segment, I was happy with it. But at the same time, I was a little bit underwhelmed.
I almost wonder if they held off on that just because that broke out so much.
Maybe. Maybe they'll wait like a week or two or something.
Because yeah, just for it to cool off, people would be like, oh, well, they didn't do it. So I guess they're not doing it now.
And if they are going to do that, that would assumingly make it a 3-on-3 match, which could bring Sting into the mix. And if Sting is brought into the mix, all we've been hearing so far on the dirt sheets and stuff is that he's not going to show up until like right before SummerSlam, because they're still working on the Undertaker thing and stuff. And they don't want to, like, you know, everybody's focused on that. Sting shows up and suddenly people aren't talking about Undertaker anymore. At least if you wait until like 2 weeks before or a week before, you've got more time to kind of like, people have settled down a little bit and now you bump up their expectations a lot more. So, you know, it's not the end of the world that they didn't do it now. They still could. And even if they don't end up doing it at all, it might not be the end of the world either, but
yeah, like how would you get Sting even involved in this at this point? Like, what would be his motivation?
He had said before when he was feuding with Triple H that he was here to like correct injustices, kind of like the Shield. So
he is supposed to be the vigilante, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe he'll come, like, you know, vigilante code and try to mess up with Stephen Amell.
No, they're just reforming the Shield, and he's going to be the architect now since Seth Rollins is gone.
Well, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, I probably is. The architect. Is that a bird?
All right, well, let's go ahead and open up the phone lines one more time. We got a caller calling in from 916. 916, who's there? What's your name? Where are you calling from?
How's it going, man? My name is Matthew, and I'm from Sacramento.
What's shaking, Matthew? Thanks for calling in. What's your thoughts about Raw tonight?
Man, I thought it was boring for the most part. I thought there was a couple of good, decent spots. Right now, I just think there's such a lack of quality in the storylines. Like, for example, the tag division, it's weak as fuck right now. There's no real direction. You just get these same random tag team matches with, you know, the same teams, and there's no depth to the storylines. And you look at, like, you know, the mid-card or the upper mid-card, Rusev and Ziggler, it's like the whole Lana Rusev angle tonight, I thought it was stupid with the fish. I mean, it's just like, it's boring, you know. There's no complexity to it. There's, you know, there's no depthness to it. It's just, you know, it's boring. And then, you know, you got the announced teams still garbage, you know. I mean they really have to do something about that. And I did like the whole Orton, Sheamus, Claudio and Steen dynamic. I think, you know, I'd really like the Fatal 4-Way at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I would like the IC title to be on the line over there, but, you know, obviously, yeah, Rick has it.
Hey, you just threw a lot there. Think, you were saying that they need to do something with, yeah, the announcer situation. What would you do?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, obviously, since JR left, there's been a huge hole in, you know, play-by-play. I think, you know, I'm not a big Michael Cole fan. But yeah, there's really not much you can do. I mean, unless they bring in, you know, new guys, and just JBL, his, you know, his commentary is garbage. Not a big fan of Saxton. I really, there is no real answer, I guess you could say. I would just consider, you know, looking at other, you know, other talents to bring in, mm-hmm. Or, you know, if anything, bring JR back. But
all righty then. What do you think about SummerSlam so far?
I think the card, I mean, it's shaping up. I'm guessing we're going to get, you know, obviously Cena and Rollins for the title, and that's a whole other thing that pissed me off tonight. You know, you got so many of these younger guys coming in, very, you know, very talented, you know, like Steen, you know, making him tap. Big mistake. If anything, I would have had him pass out. But, you know, basically made him tap tonight. And I'm guessing Cena's going to go over at SummerSlam. Not looking forward to that. Undertaker, Lesnar, you know, that's, I guess, the money match. I'm thinking that's going to be a good match, but they kind of booked themselves in the corner, I think, because where do you go from there? You know, who takes the loss, and what do you do from there? You know, it's like you want to, you know, look as strong as possible, but you're really going to have Taker take another loss to, you know, someone that's beat him already? And it's just like, I would have rather had them work with
that. Seems like they're booked into a corner, but honestly, I do think that's the way they're going. I think they really just want to make Brock Lesnar look that dominant that he gets two big victories over The Undertaker. And, you know, it's not WrestleMania, so, and even if it was, he already lost at WrestleMania, so it's not as important as it used to be. I mean, people often complain about these old-timers coming in and just winning all these matches and never putting over anybody. Yeah. You know, not that Brock Lesnar's a spring chicken, but, you know, Brock Lesnar is a big money guy, and you need to keep him looking strong. So it's a way to do that. Mm-hmm. Matthew, I think this is your first time calling in, so I always like to finish things off here asking people what their high point and low point was for the show, meaning what your favorite part overall and your least favorite part overall was from Raw tonight.
My favorite, I would have to say the Orton and Steen match. I thought that was a good match. My low point would have to be, and I know, you know, probably people maybe disagree with that, but Cena, you know, making Rollins tap, definitely not, in my opinion, not a great direction to go in for the company. I think Cena, you know, what, 37, 38, he needs to start putting people over.
I mean, Tyler really Black start, is such a good champion right now. There's no reason he should be doing that to him.
Yep.
All right, Matthew, we're going to keep moving along. We appreciate the call, man.
I know you don't agree with that.
No, but it's okay. I mean, you're entitled to your opinion.
But look, they it's the way they book him. Like he's been booked like a chicken shit heel. You know what I mean? So
he has.
Tyler Black?
You know, he's talented. He's talented as fuck. I mean, he, you know, I don't know if you guys watch him on the Indies or in NXT, but he can work. He has great skills. So. It's the way they book him. They don't care about anyone but Cena, and that's the only guy they're going to make look strong. Everyone else hits the Cena ceiling, and that's it.
Fucking Drew. All right, Matthew. Seriously, we're going to keep moving along here, though. We actually don't have too much time here. Oh, he just dropped. Well, then.
He's probably gone to watch the Best of Ringo Honor DVD.
Somehow you added another R to the end of Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I was trying to process that. I'm like, R and R Anderson.
I was trying to talk through my laughter. It didn't work very well.
Talk through your accent.
Oh, man. So we have one last match to talk about here. It is Randy Orton versus Kevin Steen. This match had Sheamus O'Shaughnessy on commentary. I have a question. How come during all the matches Kevin Owens keeps calling out Michael Cole? Like, when did this beef start?
Because everybody hates Michael Cole, and it's fun to make fun of him.
Why does everyone just hate? Yeah, why does everybody hate the commentators right now?
Because they fucking suck.
Why does everybody hate Michael Cole? Like, he's not a heel anymore, and he's not as bad as he used to be. And even then, I don't think that he was as bad as everybody gave him flack for.
I think it's just because he's a dork. And he's easy to pick on.
Huh. Target Byron Saxton. He sucks.
Yeah, I think what do you mean? Cole was fun to pick on back when he had the blonde hair and he was a scrawny little fuck. Now he's just like a fat, grumpy old cunt at ringside.
Yeah, it's more fun. He's just a guy just trying to do his job.
Yeah, Myron's more fun to pick on because he's still, like, fresh and he's still got enough soul to crush. He's perfect.
He still thinks he's going to come in and make a difference.
What does Odin has JBL. Let's see. Kevin Owens has Michael Cole. And then the commentary team has Byron Saxton to pick on. So
this you know what they should do for his, like, locker or whatever? They should just keep putting up pictures of old announcers and commentary team people that aren't there anymore. Like, has, like, JBL, your little section here. It's got a picture of JBL. Michael Cole's got a picture of Michael Cole. Booker T's got Booker T. And then Byron Saxton has Todd Pettengill. Or Kevin Kelly. Or
that's fucking stupid.
Or if you really want to piss off two people at once, Doc Hendricks.
So Randy Orton and Kevin Owens had a decent match. We didn't get to get a finish of it, though. Sheamus interrupts with a bro kick onto Orton. They battle around the outside for a little bit until Cesaro charges down like a ball of fire, leaps over the top rope. Unfortunately, he gets laid out with a pop-up powerbomb by Kevin Owens. So Kevin Owens actually gets thrown a bone tonight. Looks like the strong one coming out of it. Looks like they're continuing that feud with him and Cesaro, too. Is this a good spot for him, guys, or is this just too far pushed down the card for him?
It's a fine spot for him. I hate this idea that people think that Kevin Owens has to be like, oh, he beats John Cena night one. That means he's a main eventer for life, because looking back at history, I mean, Jericho debuted against The Rock, and then a few months later, he wasn't even on the card. So.
Yeah, but Jericho never beat The Rock until later.
That is very true, but at the same time, people act like since he debuted with a main eventer, he has to be a main eventer forever. That's a terrible analogy, really. Very few people have done it, and look at the success some people had because of it. I mean, Sheamus, he's had a good career, but he really hasn't amounted to much since then. But listen, Kevin Owens is going to be on the card of SummerSlam, so at the end of the day. Is it really a bad thing if he's lower on the card? No, because they just didn't have a spot for him to be in the main event. They obviously already had plans for, like, Taker and Brock Lesnar. And I don't know if Cena and Rollins was the goal went after WrestleMania, but that felt like they've had an idea of that for a while now. So Kevin Owens is not always going to get a bone thrown his way. So, and they're pushing Cesaro, and it's not like Cesaro is looking like a slouch, and he's just going up against it's a jobber of any sort, so they're going to just have a mid-card match, and at the end of the day, it's a good thing. It's going to be a good match regardless.
Yep. Anyone else have anything else to say about that?
As far as Kevin Owens' current push goes, he's in the exact spot that he should be. He's wrestling main event to upper mid-card talent. Mm-hmm. He's being made to look strong, mm-hmm. and honestly, John Cena should have beat him. If by all standards of what level John Cena's on, and when you push a guy that hard, that fast at the beginning, it never ends well. So he's being beat by Cena now is probably better than him getting a push later only to be burnt then.
But is the drop down after that down to Cesaro, is that going to be okay?
They've elevated Cesaro.
They have?
He went toe-to-toe with Cena and almost beat him and arguably would have beat him in one match. I think they've elevated him enough, at least for one pay-per-view match, because, let's be honest, this is just a filler match until they know what they're doing with Kevin Owens. And to be quite honest, based on what I saw tonight, I think the next step for Owens is Randy Orton. I've been saying I want to see that, and now I definitely do.
As long as this works out in the end for Kevin Owens, and it's not something where a couple months from now we look back and we go, you know what? That U.S. title went nowhere after Kevin Owens didn't win it. Because I don't like the idea that the U.S. champion is fighting the world champion at SummerSlam, most likely. And if that's the case, and they just did that because they wanted John Cena against Seth Rollins, not the U.S. champion against Seth Rollins, he should have dropped the title. And Cesaro and Owens could have been bumped up even more because it could have been for the U.S. title. Cesaro already went for the U.S. title when it was with John Cena and worked his way into a feud with that. You could have just had like...
I have something I have to say about this. Let's say that we didn't know everything we know about wrestling. Let's say that this wasn't something that we knew where everything was predetermined. And let's say John Cena was just this guy dominating around. Yes, he was the United States champion. If he's the number one contender for that world title, shouldn't he be able to go and fight it? And if he had to lose that U.S. title, it should be because someone beats him, not because he's going to face the world champion.
Yeah.
Theoretically, but then if we were thinking in that way, 90% of the shit that happens wouldn't happen.
Okay, do you worry that Cena's U.S. title's not going to be on the line, but who's to say that Cena doesn't lose it in the weeks coming up to SummerSlam? Isn't it normally the authority's game to fuck with the challenger?
Mm-hmm. If he loses it, he should lose it to Kevin Owens. And if that was what they were going to do, then why not just do it at the past pay-per-view?
Yeah. I think that's what we've been saying for a long time now. So, yeah. But I don't know. Is there any chance at all that they'll possibly just combine the belts and just get rid of the U.S. title completely? Are we past the point because they're elevating it by Cena having it to the point where
we were going to get anymore? If we're going to get rid of one of the belts, I'd rather them get rid of the Intercontinental at this point. They've elevated the U.S. title. The IC belts, I don't need it.
And also just as weird to meld those two belts together as opposed to like the U.S. and the Intercontinental.
Yeah, you don't necessarily need a unification, though. You can just get rid of a title. I mean, right now, Ryback's on the shelf.
I mean, they got rid of the Cruiserweight title by Vicky Guerrero just coming in like, hey, Hornswoggle, I'm taking that.
They've figured out weird ways around stuff before, and even though it wouldn't kind of come off as, like, the best, if they wanted to, the fans would buy it if they had somebody like Seth Rollins come out and say, look, if you want this title match, you're going to have to put your U.S. title on the line in the way where it's like, it's not a unification and they start advertising it differently. Like how they kind of go like, well, this is a champion versus champion match, but they specifically don't say titles are on the line. They could say, look, this is champion versus champion. And if John Cena loses, the U.S. title gets eradicated from WWE. Because it means so much to him and he would have to get rid of it and whatever. And then they don't kind of like do the kind of thing where they're like, we're going to play dumb and we want the audience to be dumb enough to not know that we should be asking another question sort of a thing. You know what I mean? Where a lot of people would kind of go, well, does that mean Seth Rollins is a champion? And they go, no, it means that John Cena won't be the U.S. champion.
Why can't they unify the titles, though? Didn't they do that already? Didn't the Intercontinental Champion Kane lose against World Heavyweight Champion Triple H and both belts became one? And they just didn't recognize Triple H as champion. They can do that. Mm-hmm. That was back on that weird period of Raw where they unified every title. The Hardcore got unified, the European, the Intercontinental, and then they just had the world title for a while.
Yeah, just because they did doesn't mean it wasn't weird.
Yeah, I wasn't bothered by it at the time.
Also, we're kind of forgetting that at one point there was a WrestleMania that was headlined by a champion versus champion match. So, just food for thought.
Got stripped of the other title that next night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I don't know. If Cena were to win the World Heavyweight Championship, would you strip him of the title?
It devalues the title instantly, and whoever wins it is essentially a paper champion, so no.
Fair enough.
I wouldn't book this match to begin with because I think that that's one of the biggest issues.
What if Seth Rollins win the U.S. title after that, then? And then they just do the same.
I think that's a best case scenario. I think that's a best case scenario. Put two titles on Seth. You really want to like make this guy like walk around with the biggest ego? Have him walk around with lots of gold on his shoulders.
And that way, if he does drop the world title, at least he's got something to do in the meantime. He can just defend the U.S. title for whatever he's doing afterwards.
Well, he's not dropping that world title anytime soon.
And I think that one of the reasons why they did this match on Monday Night Raw is because now there isn't an excuse to have the U.S. title on the line.
I still believe that the reason why they've had this match on Raw is so that Cena could beat him. And I guarantee you next week on Raw, they'll have the same match but for the United States title and Seth Rollins somehow wins. So they each have one title on each other. Yeah, my bad. Oh, yeah, the world title. Yeah, my bad. Good, you got me there. But yeah, so I thought of when this match happened. So
they better not do that because then we've had the same match twice before SummerSlam.
But here's the thing: you didn't complain about after you saw Kevin Owens and Cena two times in a row. What? This is just in a shorter time frame.
Yeah, they put that on pay per view. They didn't put it on fucking Raw.
Right.
So you can't have good matches on Raw.
I don't agree with giving away those matches on Raw. I think
you... Hold on. People complain if we get stupid, dumb matches, but then when you actually give us a match with meaning, like, then you're going to complain about that too?
Well, here's the thing. For anyone... And Kevin Owens will be a pay-per-view match at some point. I don't see you complaining about that being a match.
Because right now they're not in a storyline where the whole point is to wrestle it out at the pay-per-view to finish your score.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jeff Hardy and Undertaker had that ladder match for the world title on Raw, that was dumb?
Well, Jeff Hardy was a mid-carder at the point. He wasn't in a main event feud, so it was perfectly fine.
You're going to have a good match that doesn't have to be the two people that are going to be in the main event for the world title.
There's no argument for pissing away your main event for a pay-per-view.
Think about it this way. Would you want to see Brock Lesnar versus Undertaker tomorrow night on SmackDown and then see it again at SummerSlam? Or would you care?
But I'll tell you what the difference is. Brock Lesnar and Undertaker don't generally wrestle every single week on Raw.
And the world champion shouldn't necessarily wrestle his main opponent every week on Raw or even at all. But he's not
wrestling him every week. He wrestled him one time.
Well, that's why I said
in a way he built up the match.
That's why I said or even at all before he wrestles him at a pay-per-view.
Well, there's a big difference between every week, because that's what I'm talking about, them appearing there. We don't see Brock Lesnar and Undertaker every week. If you have them wrestle at all, then that's killing the mystique of it. These guys are there all the time. We see them every week. There's no mystique to these guys. If it wasn't in a singles match, it would have been in a tag match. So what the hell's the difference?
And I don't like it when it's in a tag match either. I prefer guys not to touch each other unless it's in segments.
You just say that because Paul Heyman said it.
At the top of the show, I said, as a spectator, I love tonight's main event. But they've pissed away the mystique of having Seth Rollins versus John Cena because we've only really seen it once, and that was in a triple threat match.
Yeah, so that was already given away then. Then you can complain that they gave away SummerSlam at Royal Rumble.
So they pissed it away.
And not to mention, honestly, how many times do you think John Cena and Seth Rollins have fought in Raw anyway? Back in the Shield days, these guys fought dozens of times.
Different positions on the card. You've got different values and different guys.
How is it different positions? Shield was main eventers.
No, they were.
Yes, they were. Shield was main eventers when they debuted.
They were
main event act
together. They were not main event wrestler singles.
Yes, they were all main eventers the moment they debuted.
It was a longer time ago, so that dust has settled. And if you want to throw it out there as like, well, doesn't that make you not want to see it as much? I already said I don't want to see this match at SummerSlam.
Why not? Already working, it's going to be a great match.
They're already working uphill for me because I don't want to see John Cena as the U.S. champion or at all against Seth Rollins for the world title at SummerSlam. So now I want to see it even less because I've seen it on Monday Night Raw. If I didn't want to see it necessarily before, not that it's going to be a terrible match or anything, but if I didn't have much of an interest before to see it, now I have even less because I've already seen it again. Now I'm going to be seeing it twice, if not three times or whatever.
No, you're not. It's Cena beat him on Raw. He could possibly beat him at SummerSlam. We could have a new champion then. I don't see how that's a big deal.
What it comes down to is you're trying to sell what? The WWE Network. What are you meant to be selling that on? Big matches, big events that we've never really seen before. Well, you're pissing away that value.
It's not that you've never seen before. It's big matches. Not everything needs to be something you've never seen before. We never saw Los Matadores and Lucha Dragons. Let me finish my thought. All right, Lucha Dragons versus Los Matadores never happened. So you're not going to put that on a pay-per-view just because it never happened. It's going to be a big deal. A match is a big deal because it's two competitors that you want to see fight. Now, John Cena and Seth Rollins have another reason that you want to see them fight because John Cena got a victory over Seth Rollins, which, again, makes him look like a strong contender for the world title. Doesn't matter that he's the United States champion. He's the number one guy to face Seth Rollins with a big victory over him.
Did he really need any more momentum going up against Seth Rollins other than his huge undefeated streak that he's had in U.S. title matches recently, the fact that he knocked off Kevin Owens
back-to-back? Oh, his undefeated streak? I thought he got pinned by Kevin Owens.
Yeah, one match. I said his recent undefeated streaks of his U.S. title wins. He's got a huge momentum. It's not as if he needed any extra boost beating Seth Rollins. Plus, I think he's probably the most credible opponent, second to Brock Lesnar on the entire roster.
And didn't you already say if he's a U.S. champion, shouldn't he have some kind of a right to challenge anyway?
I never said that.
Didn't you say that earlier when you were talking about how doesn't that make sense for him to do that? And if we didn't remember, if we didn't look at things from the way that we look at it?
You're putting words in my mouth. I never said because he's the United States champion, he automatically gets a shot. I said if he is a deserving person, it shouldn't matter that he's the United States champion.
Okay. Either way, if he is the U.S. champion, shouldn't he kind of be entitled?
No.
He's a champion.
Not at all.
He's got the biggest win to fucking loss ratio against
Titus O'Neil should be a fucking contender then.
Yeah, he should be. By that rationale, he should be somebody who's considered one of the top guys in the company because he's a champion.
Again, that's not the rationale I'm using.
Well, you can make a point for anyone on the roster getting a title shot for the most part, so it's kind of a flawed argument.
I think basically what this boils down to me is it was a match that I didn't necessarily think needed to happen, or nor that I want it to happen, and it causes some other problems with the U.S. title not being involved in something else. So it's kind of like you're diminishing something to do something that you didn't need to do. And then on top of that, now I've already seen it very frequently in comparison to the pay-per-view. So now there's not even the, like, I haven't seen it in a while, so I kind of want to see it again factor. Like, if you aren't supposed to watch Brock Lesnar and Undertaker, and they are two people that the part of the mystique is the fact that they don't show up that often, then that points to the idea that if you see something more often, it doesn't have as much mystique. And if you see a match 2, 3, 4 weeks before you see it again, I don't want to see, like, they already kind of built up the idea that we're going to have Cesaro and Randy Orton against Kevin Owens and Sheamus next week, probably in a tag match. Well, the fact that I've seen Randy Orton and Owens tonight means that when Randy Orton and Owens are fighting in a tag match, it's not going to seem anything special. I saw it last week.
But doesn't that make sense, though, from just a standpoint? Oh, these four were in a little feud segment together. Shouldn't they be feuding each other in the match of some sorts?
Also, and you're talking about two different build styles. Nothing is absolutes like that. The reason Brock Lesnar and Undertaker is like that is because that's the way their characters are made. John Cena would, if he was a guy who was only there every few months, that's the way you could build his character, but that's not. You build John Cena as being a guy who fights hard, is a hard worker, gets the job done every single week. So that's what you got to do with him.
But he didn't need to beat Seth Rollins on Monday Night Raw leading up to SummerSlam to have a match where he's most likely going to lose, or even if he does win.
Well, did he not? SummerSlam. No, but you know why he did? Because the Authority thought they were going to get one up on him and be able to get that U.S. title on Seth Rollins.
I think that that's a situation where if you have to start arguing like this happened because of this and then this and that, and then that all balances out to that's why I should.
I didn't
like
get
it.
It's not that complicated.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm telling you, my explanation is not that complicated. The Authority wanted to mess with John Cena, so they put him in a match to put his U.S. title on the line. It's the same thing when they did when they put Dolph Ziggler in a match against Luke Harper.
And that's infinitely more complicated than my explanation of, I've already seen it, I don't want to see it again too soon.
What annoys me is we're going to get a fuck finish at SummerSlam, a really stupid fuck finish, and it kind of just made the whole match pointless.
Do you think it's just a Sheamus cashes in at SummerSlam?
Oh god, I hope not.
Possible. It's possible.
Make a triple threat match? I don't think
he would do it that
Seth
way.
Seth Rollins did it before.
Don't have John Cena beat Seth Rollins and then immediately lose to Sheamus. I'll be so goddamn
pissed. Not like that. More like Seth Rollins. He does the same thing Seth Rollins did, where like halfway through the match, he sees an opportunity, comes out, makes a triple threat.
Nah, I don't think they're doing that. I don't think Sheamus is even anywhere close to the world title plans for months.
I don't think they have plans for him with the world title at all. I think they just needed a guy to put it on. Because they fucking just built themselves into a fucking point where they have to have a Money in the Bank now.
He did let it slip when he was on commentary saying, you're soon to be world champion.
And I thought that's just what they all kind of refer to themselves as.
He said the next WWE champion specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but don't they all kind of say that? Like, wasn't Sandow referring to himself as that way? And
they generally don't use the word next. They may say, like, you know, I could use this any time. I'm going to be a champion in the future. But they just say, I'm going to be the next one. That's very specific.
Peyton, what was your favorite commercial?
Well, my favorite commercial was from Geico. It was featuring the guy from the game of Operation. And he's on an actual operating table. And there's some doctors gathered around trying to get the pieces out of him. And it's buzzing off. And just reminded me of a fun game from my youth. Back when people actually played board games.
Kind of disappointed you didn't give it to the Arby's one. What part of Arby's didn't you understand, Giuseppe?
I was expecting to give it to the KFC commercial.
Oh, I was going to give it to fucking the Verizon commercial. They've got all these birds that are flying away from somewhere, and it's like, these birds have shitty Wi-Fi connection, so they're flying back home, coming to Verizon.
They had Verizon one. I don't remember what it was, but it was something else that caught my eye. But
They played a lot of local like, commercials for me, and for some reason, they played like this... like
Red Lobster?
No, not even that, if only. But like, no... Oh, they, my school, my high school at least, they had like this anti-drinking youth thing, and just like a bunch of people I went to school with, like, I stand up against drinking and shit, America, and I was like, dude, cool.
Well, all right, great input.
Yeah.
All right, so I got one thing to throw in here for Who Said It. I was gonna do It's a Fish, but I think we all know Who Said It's a Fish. So I got one here. This one actually wasn't said on Raw, but I'm sure you guys will still be able to tell me who said it. And it is...
Hulk Hogan.
I'm racist.
Spencer Graham. I don't think he actually said that.
Michael Hayes.
He said he wasn't racist.
No, he did specifically say, I'm racist.
To a point.
Oh, I thought he... Yeah.
No, if you read the transcription, he clearly says, I'm racist. Followed by effing N-word.
I really thought he said, like... Everyone's kind of racist. I thought he said that.
No.
I think he said, I'm the leader of a KKK clan. Fuck that.
No. I'll take your word for it.
So who said what?
Nothing. Drew knows. Drew can tell you.
I think it was Simon Dean.
It'd be great if he was like, fuck it, it was Simon Dean.
All right. Good, bad, and ugly, guys. It is the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about what the best part of the show, the worst part of the show, and the must god awful must avoid part of the show is. Drew, what's your good, bad, and ugly?
My good will have to be the main event of the evening. It was or actually just wrestling in general tonight. I have nothing to complain when it comes to any of the quality of the matches or anything like that. My bad, it's a little tricky. I really don't have one, but I'm gonna give it to just Darren Young or commentary, just because he's been doing the same thing since 2012, where Titus is all the talking and Darren's just like, hey guys, hi. And then I don't really have an ugly tonight, so I really can't give one. But Summer Rae, she looks a lot like Lana, and I could dig it, sucker.
All right, Wago, you're good, bad, ugly.
All right, for my good, it has to go to the scene of us Roland's main event. It was quality wrestling, and there's not much more I can say than that. As far as bad goes, I'm giving it to Stephanie's opening promo. I didn't like it. I know not everyone's in agreement. Ugly goes to Titus and Darren's commentary. More so than for anything is the dead air. I don't like dead air unless the ring's mic'd up a lot better. It was awkward. It took me out of the match. So take those guys off commentary. Take them off doing video segments. Their time was many years ago, and now they suck.
All right, Tony, you're good, bad, ugly.
I have two goods. One of them is something that I talked about a little bit earlier as being one of my favorite parts of the night, and that was the whole dog fish segment with Rusev. I thought that was just funny as hell. Another one of them is a commercial that popped up, the Terminator 2 thing with WWE 2K16. Almost caught a 15 again. Everybody that has followed Fanboys Anonymous and the Four Real Movie Club that we did with Terminator last month knows that Terminator 2 is my favorite movie of all time. So anything popping up with Terminator 2 is something great. As soon as they did the first like note of that song, my eyes darted to the screen. And I was just like, that's fucking the song for Terminator 2. Oh, shit, Terminator 2. Because I didn't pay attention to this 2K16 stuff. And even the little detail that they did with Dean Ambrose putting the cigar out on and Arnold and the guy in the background going, ooh, it's something from the movie that's always stood out to me. And I'm like, damn, they did their research. Then it would have been, ooh, which would have been probably even better. But that's my good. My bad is going to be something that we've talked at great lengths about tonight, doing Cena versus Rollins before SummerSlam. I liked the match. It was very entertaining, but I think that's going to hurt the match at SummerSlam. And hopefully I'm wrong about that. And my ugly, I'm going to kind of follow what everybody else had said before. The commentary during the primetime players segment, I don't like the idea that Titus O'Neil is really distracting from the whatever's going on in the ring. Darren Young's completely pointless. And Byron Saxton, even they were making fun of Byron Saxton at that point. So really, when you have that many distractions and that many bad distractions in a lot of ways, I rather would have just seen Los Matadores and Lucha Dragons.
All right. Well, I'm going to pull one out here submitted by Crichton. He said to me, the good was the whole goddamn show. It's always a positive thing to say. Bad was the crowd reaction to Fandango. And the ugly, I'm trying to make sense of this. The main event was ugly in a good way, ugly. What? I don't know what maybe, that means. I'm sorry.
Maybe Seth's is ugly and Cena's ugly with his broken nose.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Well, that leads to mine. My good, I'm actually going to give it to the Divas match between Sasha Banks and Paige. I think that was an excellent example of what these ladies need to do. Setting the bar for what they're doing there. The bad, Fandango's reaction as well. I actually have to agree with Crichton there. That was, I felt so bad for him. one of the most talented guys they have that's not being utilized. Hopefully, either this Fandango thing finds a way to work, or maybe they can give him a try with something else, because he's a guy I would feel awful seeing leave. And ugly, I have to give to Cena's nose, maybe if that's what Crichton meant, because Cena's nose falling apart there in that main event. As good as it is to see color, a nose is one of the worst things to get yourselves knocked in, because your whole face is just inoperable after that. All right, so with that, that is all the parts of the show. We're just going to take one quick moment to let the host tell you what they got going on, and we're going to wrap up things for the night. Drew, what do you got to tell people about?
Yeah, no, just check out everyone else's stuff on there. Everyone's doing some good things out there. And, you know, go to the Mega Maniacs. I know Peyton will plug that in. Let's plug that throughout the show. But, hey, there's good people to talk to. And just, yeah, go there to chat with some of the great people in the world.
Stop fucking typing. Fucking Christ. Wago.
All right, you can go to StephenWago.com to find all my social media links and ongoings.
All right, Tony.
SmarkOutMoment.com. Make sure that you check out the Hottest Divas and Superstars Tournament. We got the male and the female brackets going on right now. Round one is going to end Thursday night. A couple matches are pretty close. Woods and Lesnar is only one vote apart last time I checked. Same with Breeze and Triple H. Bailey and Natalya are neck and neck, so get as many votes as you want for all the people that you like. And check out Smack Talk coming up later on this week, where we're going to do fantasy booking of SummerSlam. And check out all the other stuff like Fanboys Anonymous and the All Talk Show by clicking all over the place with those websites.
All right, folks, you enjoyed this show. Join us every single Monday night following Raw on MegaPowersRadio.com for the most interactive post-Raw experience, the Raw Post Show. If you can't be here live, though, we are available in archive form on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, YouTube, all these places where you can subscribe to us to automatically show up in your feed. While you're there, rate and review us, invite your friends, get lots of extra folks involved. That's the way to do it and get them there. Join us on all of our social media means, and until next week, folks. Folks, for Tony Mango, for Stephen Wago, and for Drew White, I'm Mike Payton. We'll catch y'all on the flip-flop.